much. Please take your Bible, stand with me, turn to Psalm 87. Psalm 87. The Bible says, a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word of God that speaks to us. Thank you for the fact you did not throw the clay away, that you loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. Thank you that you are the only creator, the only one that we should ever turn to. You've provided a way of escape for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Any person with understanding can receive your plan through Jesus Christ, and I thank you for that. I pray that you would help those of us, first of all, who have accepted you, that we would listen and hear your word, that it would affect us, and then there's anyone here who's never accepted Christ as their Savior. I pray today would be their day, the day that they realize that their life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away, and that before long, they'll be coming before you and giving an account. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning to see you in this passage, because you alone are worthy. Give me unction and clarity of thought in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm, as observed by many commentators, but I really especially appreciate Spurgeon's view of it, but almost every commentator agrees that this psalm is a patriotic song. It's a song that is sung for a reason that most people don't sing songs. So if you look at the songs that were written in the founding, around, after, during the battles, different battles of America, you will quite often, more often than not, even through the Civil War, find music that speaks of God, that speaks of God's wrath, speaks of God's right, speaks of God's deliverance. Even the song we call America, it has God shed his grace on thee. There's a recognition of God in the early songs. Now, not so in some of the newer music. That's not true. Many of them, I know you may not like this, but they do focus on the flag. Or they focus on the way the land of America is, or on our ability to love one another, you know, and our brotherhood with multi-nations involved. But the truth is, and this is the observation that Spurgeon and many others make, is that when God is the foundation of your country, then you should and will always praise God for the sustaining of your country. You could take this thought and even move it to the church. When God is the founder of a church, the church thrives, the church continues on. Even though there are problems and things go on, the Bible's very clear, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So the church, if a person's life has as its foundation God himself and the plan of God through Jesus Christ, The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, we also know this, blessed is the man whose God is the Lord. When you accept Jesus Christ, you have a different outlook on life. You have a different destination. You should have a different heart. And all of those things come because God has a plan. So this morning we're going to look at how having the proper foundation satisfies a person that is living in this world. And I don't know anything significant about building, but I do know this. I've tried to build things without a proper foundation. Jesus spoke of this in the Bible, so I do know a little bit about it just because of what the Bible says. If you build on shifting sands, what happens? The waves, the rain comes, the wind blows, and your house goes flat. I mean, it's in a song. The wise man and the foolish man. So this is how I know this. I learned this a long time ago. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the... So what is the person who's going to be content in their life? What must they build their life upon? A firm foundation. And that firm foundation is given to us in the Scripture. When you truly build on the firm foundation, you will always revert back to and turn back to the foundation for the surety of your house. If you have a good foundation and you have good bones, you can rebuild a house. But when the foundation begins to crumble, you might as well say goodbye to that house. I'll never forget living in the house that used to be over here. Some of you didn't know there was a house that was over here. And we appreciated the house. The upper part of the house was awesome. The bottom part of the house, and I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you how it is because we live in Kansas. The walls were like this. And there were big cracks. And when it rained, it poured into the basement. And that you could tell. We had a guy come over and look at it. Oh, man, we'd have to dig out. We'd have to basically redo this and this and this. And it was just going to be, the house itself wasn't worth the investment. But he did say this, one day that basement's going to go, and that house is going to go flat. Now, the truth is, you live in Kansas very long, you know that. Foundation, the ground is weird here. It's not like, it shifts. You can have a pad where your air conditioner is leveled like twice a year, especially when there's no rain. I mean, that thing's shifting around and moving, and that it's just part of nature. So what do you have to do? You have to establish a firm, solid foundation so that you can build a good structure upon it. If you don't have a good, solid foundation, your structure will be livable for a week. If a wind blows, it's gone. So this is the idea that when God builds something, when God establishes something, it continues because of God, not because of the people or a person. So if I drop dead right here, this church, somebody can stand up in this church and start preaching. Why? Because this church does not need me. It needs God. We get our eyes messed up. We sometimes start looking at individuals as the foundation when the only true foundation of even my life should only be God. Obviously, just pay attention. Where is patriotism in America today? Pretty much non-existent. There are pockets. As a whole, even our military is not concerned about defending the nation. They're concerned about making things all-inclusive. Do you know war doesn't do that? I can sense you're uneasy. But it's also the reason that we don't have a bent toward God. Because although we know factually and historically that God, I believe, had his hand in establishing this nation, out of this nation have gone more missionaries than any other place in the world. Out of this nation, more money has been given to missions and to foreign fields for the advancement of the gospel than any other place in the world ever did. So, and we're still doing it to a degree, but not the degree we did. Why? Because God is absent from... Look back at the rewriters of history. What are they rewriting? Is there any God in it? No. It's this group built America. This group built America. Well, let me tell you, if this group built anything, human beings, it is going to fail. The only reason America still exists is by the good grace of God. Period. We certainly haven't done anything to earn God's mercy. Well, this is the realization of this. You might think, well, it's not even July 4th. Why are we doing that? Well, I'm just giving you the background of the psalm. These people are singing about what God did for Jerusalem. So when you see the psalm and you can put in place there, they're singing about Jerusalem, about God's hand in Jerusalem, about, and then toward the end, about God's restoration of Jerusalem as a central place. Not, and again, I hate to blow your mind here, but it's not America. God is not going to establish America to be the central point of His coming, His return, and the focal point of the regeneration of the world. That it's coming straight out of Jerusalem. That's why there's such a war there now. So it's been going on since they reestablished. In fact, just once again announced that the only way the world will ever be safe is when the Jews are completely destroyed. Go back to 1939, 40, 41. That's exactly what was being said by Hitler. So don't be surprised that they're under attack. No, Satan knows where to attack. So in this writing, God is going to restore Jerusalem, and the latter part of the psalm talks about that. But we also can apply this to our spiritual lives, to a church's life as a foundation. It's okay to do that because it does have to do with God's ability to do something that we can't do. So verses 1 through 3, it just basically shows us His foundation is in the holy mountains. So the holy mountains, the word holy means set apart for the use of God. So God, watch, on purpose chose the area of Jerusalem and chose the area of the Holy Land, what we call the Holy Land or the Promised Land. He chose that area on purpose and it belongs to Him because it was set aside to Him. That's the reason Jesus came there. He never came to America, ever, no matter what the Mormons say. Never did. Never. That's false. He was born, He died, and He rose again in Jerusalem. Right there in the Holy Land, that's where God's focal point has been since the get-go. He picked one nation to represent, and it wasn't a great nation. It wasn't a large nation. It wasn't a significant people. They weren't the greatest, most acceptable people. But God chose them on purpose to be the nation that brought forth His plan into the world. So the mountains that they are in are holy because they're set apart to God's plan. Now let's talk about Temple Baptist Church first. Brother, I don't think you can call a church holy. Well, Jesus Christ died for the church. He died for the local New Testament church. He did die for people, but people make the church. This is not an invisible church where nobody knows where it is. Because every book that is written in the Bible, every letter is written to a church. Always addressed to the church at. The church at. So, where God's people are gathered, where two or three are gathered, there He is in the midst. And these churches became organized and began to evangelize the world the way they were supposed to. Much like the synagogues that were put in place in the days of Babylon and all of that, when Ezra began to establish that. Jesus came and he started with a group of people.
He established the church based on what? Himself. Not on people, not on Peter, not on James or John, not on any individual, but based on him. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. So when you go to the scriptures, it's very plain that the foundation is Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Just in case you think that I'm making it up, according to the Bibles, verse number 9 of chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now he's talking and writing to the church at Corinth. He says this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, what are those two words? Jesus Christ. Now if any man build up upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So it's established right there. He's writing to the church, and he breaks it down in two sections. The first section says, I laid the foundation in Corinth for the church. If you know what Acts says, Paul went back to Corinth and continued to work there, stayed there for many years establishing. There weren't a lot of places that he did this, but in Corinth he was able to be there and establish it. And what does he say he built it on? Jesus Christ. So what did he teach and preach? Jesus Christ. In fact, he says that to them in the first chapter. I didn't baptize any of you. It's not baptism. Some of you got saved. I did baptize two families. But I'm going to tell you, all of you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by the Word of God. I didn't come with my own wisdom. I came with the words and wisdom of God. Listen to me. When Brother Hester came here, he didn't come here as a man and then get married, and he and his wife established his church, and we're now here because of the Hesters. We're here because God began a work on purpose so that 70 years later there would be a place called Temple Baptist Church. Some of you have been here a long time. You know the struggles, the waves of the inundating, division-causing problems that have been here. Some of you know them. Some of you have no idea, and ignorance is bliss. Stay blissful, because it's not worth knowing. What you need to know is the gates of hell did not prevail. That's all you need to know. Why? Because the foundation was solid. I've had the privilege of going to Australia and seeing the other places that Brother Hester planted. And it's like going to Temple Baptist Church in Australia. Why? Same Jesus Christ. No different. Well, Brother Ron, why does that stir you up so much? Because we can say, it's not by man that we're here. It's because God decided, listen, to lay a foundation. We get in our minds that we had something to do with this. Oh man, if it wouldn't have been for this preacher, if it wouldn't have been for this person, if it wouldn't have been, no. If it wouldn't have been for God. If we don't remember that God set the foundation and that God is the foundation, that Jesus Christ is the foundation that he set, then we'll get really messed up, and we'll forget to thank God. And I've heard it a couple of times this morning in prayer, and I'm very thankful for it, that we should give thanks that God gives us a place to worship in El Dorado. Now, I'm going to just tell you right now, not everybody believes the Bible like that. Some people would say, well, this group came on, they split off of these people, and I'm glad they did. No. This was a church established out of another church, and the foundation that was laid is Jesus Christ. Period. The second way that he approaches this foundation idea then is that when Jesus Christ has been laid as a foundation, he's laid as a foundation in you when you receive Christ. He is the beginning of your good works. He is the beginning of your righteousness. Anything you do after you're saved is for God's glory and only due to Jesus Christ. All you have to do is read Ephesians chapter number 3 and you'll get it. That God had a plan in the church to build a foundation, build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ could be glorified in the church and thereby bring God glory, world without end, by Jesus Christ. So here's what we do. We were saved and redeemed unto good works, the Bible says. We are to produce good works. As we produce good works, they do not build up any person. They do not build up you. They are deflected toward Christ, who then shines glory toward God. And the angels and the principalities and powers look and they go, God, you're so wise. How do you do that? Bring glory to yourself out of wicked, vile human beings. We do not deserve what God does, yet he lets us live for his glory. So that's why Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, when you begin to build on that foundation, be careful the materials you use. Because there are materials that are going to last, and there are materials that are not. Now, I have talked, and I won't give names, but I've talked to several people here that have done building or are in building, and I believe they would agree with this. If you go cheap on your building materials, you are going to reap cheap. If you don't pay for an electrician to come in and wire your house, unless you're a journeyman, you're begging for fire. Oh, I've done it myself. Some of you now are like, oh, no. Well, you should pray. If you build with sorry, twisted lumber, well, Brother Ron, if you build with good lumber, it can be destroyed. Yeah, but how long do you want it to last? In other words, what you invest in it will be well worth it down the road. How many times have you seen buildings that, man, they were just built and now they've got leaking and all this other stuff? All that tells you is there were some corners cut. When you're building on the foundation of Christ, this is what Paul said, be careful how you build and with the material with which you build. Gold, silver, precious stones are going to last because they're going to be tried by fire. Wood, hay, stubble burns up. What is wood, hay, stubble? Anything we do in our strength, seeking glory for ourselves, is wood, hay, stubble. Now, you want to watch. America, you can see this in our history. America started with God, started with founders that believed in the scripture, there was a patriotism. They fought a larger country and won because they believed God, because they believed they had the right not to worship whatever, but to worship God. You need to note that. It's not Satanism that they were welcoming. They came here on purpose to worship God and not be persecuted for doing so like they were in England. And when they came here, the thing that began the Revolutionary War is taxation without representation. And it was not taxes on their property. It was taxes to pay for a church that they did not worship in. They didn't want the church because it was the Church of England. Brother Ron, how can you possibly know that? Because the Baptists were right in the middle of it. That's the reason they came from Holland. History is valuable. You don't know history? That's the reason we're in the mess we're in. Now we're busy fighting on what we want to be called. I want you to start, my pronouns are it. great. Don't feel uncomfortable. That's what happens when you take your eyes off of God and He's no longer the foundation. Read Romans chapter 1. You remove God out of your mind, everything's wide open. That's why we have burning flags in the streets. That's why we have the weirdness that we have going on in the world today in America. And it's completely due to the fact that God has been removed. It's like He was never in the foundation to begin with. And God at one time had established America as a place to send missionaries. I'll just tell you right now, you can look at the handwriting on the wall, the way things are going. We have been numbered and we have been found to be far short of what we should be in churches. Why? Because we're not going back to the idea that the foundation is important and how I build on that as an individual. What I believe is important as an individual matters. What God measures through my heart and sees is if I'm doing this for me or if I'm doing this for His glory. And we can't say, well, I'm doing it for His glory. He knows. And if you're doing it for His glory, you're doing it only one way. There's not your way. Well, I feel like. No, there's no feeling. We either agree with this or we don't. This is what we build with. Well, brother, I don't understand why. Because when God is the only sure foundation, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. See, when you look at verse number 2, the Bible says that God loves where Jerusalem is. Remember in Chronicles where Solomon dedicates the temple? And he prays and he says, God, when your people do this and this, and then God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then shall I hear from heaven. So, there was a precedent set. How am I going to maintain this? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And we're going to look at one verse there. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And verse number 16. The Bible says this, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. There you go, Ron, great. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. That means forever, God's heart, His eyes, are on Jerusalem. Here's what the scripture says here, that the Lord loveth. His favorite place that the Jews dwelled was in Zion, was in Jerusalem, was where the temple is, where the tabernacle of the Ark of the Covenant was, where they established God a place. And He said, I will perpetually put my eyes there and my heart there. And here's what God says, it's my favorite place to see you. You know, I can see God saying His favorite place for us can only be when we are right with Him in the church that we're supposed to be in. No, listen, you can be wrong in another church, but when you're in this church, you should be right while you're here. And if you don't have somewhere to go that you know, then you should stay here. Why? Because His favorite place to see us is where He puts us, not where we think we want to be. He didn't love them in Babylon like He loved them in Jerusalem. He didn't want them going into Egypt because He loved them in Egypt, but He didn't love them like He loved them in Jerusalem. The problem is we get in our minds, I've got this all figured out. This is what I'm supposed to do. And God goes, wait, I loved you there. Now, it doesn't mean He doesn't love us all the time. It means that was my favorite place for you. Why? Because I put you there. So what does that mean? Well, if it's God's favorite place for me, then I should be thankful and happy there. Why? Because God put me there.
Wouldn't it be pathetic? It would be way past pathetic for all of us if I didn't like going home where Twilight is. No. The best place I love myself is sitting in a deer stand. You have a problem. I love being at work. Shouldn't you love to be where God has established you? Wouldn't that make building on that foundation better? Easier? More appropriate? You know what you would do? You would see that glorious things. Boy, man, I love going home. You know what? I love walking in and seeing Twilight. And I'm not saying this inappropriately, so everybody calm down. Because I know when I say it, you're going to go, I knew. I love seeing Twilight in the kitchen. Making a German chocolate cake. Smelling the German chocolate cake. That's my favorite place to be. I love that. Oh, man, I go home. Because then I know what's coming next, even though she saves just dollop for me when she gets done with the icing. She said, did you want to scrape the pan out? Pach. Yes, because that's my favorite part. Wouldn't it be a bummer if I go, oh, I'd rather be hunting then. I'd rather be at work. When all the family's together and we're celebrating Christmas or Thanksgiving and we don't always get to do that, so it's always a special time, and all the grandkids are there, and it's just as noisy as it can get. We live in peace and quiet. My mom and dad are very calm usually. I mean, they very rarely are screaming or dancing or anything. I mean, they just don't. No wild parties up there. We go downstairs, they're upstairs. We don't see each other. The grandkids come, that's it. It's chaos. It's a good chaos. It is a time that you do think, I'd rather be sitting in a deer stand. But but you should love that. I love to be where my family is. I watch. Because God gave me this. It's so terrible to come all bent out of shape when God said, this is where I love to see you. It's time that we start dealing with how we're building, and we just say, glory to God, He put me here. I'm not going to be in the perfect place because I live on earth. There is no perfect place. Quit looking. It doesn't exist. So when God gives you somewhere to be thankful. One of the reasons the children of Israel went so haywire and went to the false gods is because they never came to that agreement with God that He put them there, that He loved them there, and that He was enough for them there. They were always looking, maybe there's something else, maybe there's something better. They'd go conquer a country, and they'd bring back their gods. What in the world? God set them aside, and His foundation was there in the holy mountains, and they just ignored it. The same thing is said about the reason that Jesus Christ came. He died, He loved the church, and gave Himself for it. You know, here He wants to see us where He loves us most. He loves the church. He loves the church. Not the invisible church, not the TV church, the church where people come together and they're building on the same foundation. People in this room that only get to come to church occasionally will tell you it's great to see it on live stream, but it's not like being here. That's what happens when you love what God loves. The next two things are just really simple then. So verses 4 and 5 talk about, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. If glorious things are being spoken of the city of God, or the place where God is, then naturally, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men shall be drawn to me. Where He is lifted up, people flock and want to see what God is doing. So all of the cities He mentions there, He says this in the middle of it. If you don't catch it, you miss it. They know, all that they know, the people that know me, the people I know. These are people that are acquaintances, but they're also friendly. Something has happened. God has done a work in the enemy, and the enemy has been won over to God. When you read the Psalms, that's a very common thought, that God reached mine enemy. Help them to see you. When the church is and you as an individual and a nation is loving God and glorifying God in his presence as they are where they are supposed to be, doing what he wants them to do, here's what happens. God is glorified, and people can't help but see something different. And in this, I hearken back to the days of real revival. When revival began with one person, and one person became two persons, and they were just praying for revival. You can read these. These are historical revivals that started. The Welsh revival started with one person, and then it was two, then it was three, then it was ten, then it was hundreds, and it was people just praying, God, send revival, God, send revival. In America, the revivals, the real awakening, not the woke awakening. They stole the word. The awakening that happened here was a realization that we were far from God, and God, we needed God more than we needed things. We needed God more than we needed the land. We needed God. And so people were changed. They were revived. They lived lives that showed forth God. And bars closed down in towns. And all of the evil sins that went on stopped in towns. No, come on. It could happen in El Dorado, but you got to be where God put you and glorify him where you are and build on the foundation the way that he says to build. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And we pray. Here's what we say. We see somebody out on the street. They're all tatted up and they got hair and piercings and all that. We go, oh, I'm not going to talk to that person. You know what they need? They need Jesus. Just like your little four-year-old needs Jesus. Just like you needed Jesus. How will they see Jesus if they don't see us living for him? And then what will they be drawn to? The drawing here is not the person. It is the way the person is worshiping God. The whole city of Jerusalem was set with the temple as its primary point, the Ark of the Tabernacle, the tent where David put it, was set in a place where people would see it. Here's what Jerusalem did. Solomon did this, begin to build temples to false gods right outside of the city. And they were up on hills. And then they became the prevalent point that you looked out of the city and you saw, oh, they're worshiping Asheroth over there. Oh, they're worshiping this one over there. They're worshiping this one over there. And he set them up for all of his wives. And he went up to worship with them. So they saw the king go up to worship in all his grandeur, going to the temple. And then maybe the next day they saw him going to the temple of Molech. And suddenly, all the nations around them were saying this, well, they're no different than we are. What's the point? They say they have God. What in the world? Doesn't matter. Do you understand historically the reason that people fled from Europe is they did not want to be ruled like Europeans were bound to be ruled? They didn't want to be involved in that. Americans came here to be free. Now we long to be ruled like Europe, which is by and large socialist. Now, what about Christians? We often look out at the outside and we think, I got to fit into that. When actually, this is where God loves you. This is where God puts you. We're supposed to be like this everywhere we go, everything we look at. We need revival because we've been sidetracked. We look around, I got to be like this person. I'm going to be like this person. And right now, some of you are listening, some of you are not. I don't know who you are. I can't tell. And I'm glad, because it's sad.
Because God is the foundation. We're not. This is not Ron Jones's message. I'm not mad at anything. I'm telling you, when I was reading this, I was weeping. Because I'm thinking. If I look at my life, do I look more like what's outside than I do where God loves me? Well, these people said, this is what is being said and praised. All the people that noticed there was a difference were drawn to me. All you have to do is read where the Queen of Sheba comes and sees Solomon before he built the other temples. You need to read that because that is the grandeur they're talking about. Solomon ascending to his temple, to the temple of God, into God's temple to sacrifice. And as he goes and he sacrifices, his ascent is glorious. And his servants are singing. And all they're doing is praising God. And yes, silver was like rocks in the road because he actually was bringing glory to God. You will notice a stark difference when he sins. When he sins, there's a stark difference. And he departs from God. That's why David is known as the only king that did not depart. Because even though he sinned, he never turned from God. He always turned back to God immediately. When he was confronted with truth, he turned to truth. That's revival. That's why he could write Psalm 51 and know exactly what he was talking about. And then the latter part just says this. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people and that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. God is keeping an account of those who are accepting his call to just be put where he desires. You know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when those enemies came to God, you know what they were able to do? They were able to say, I will be a Jew, and I will identify with Jews, and I will forsake my heritage, and I will agree to worship God the way God wants me to worship, because he's the one true God. They did it all the time. Read the Ethiopian eunuch. He was going up and back from sacrifice. Ethiopia was reached. Why? Because of Jerusalem. What had happened there in the Old Testament? Now he was reached by Philip with the truth of God's plan finished in Jesus. And God wrote his name down. God's waiting to write people's names down. I don't know who the next person that I am going to win to the Lord, but I do know this. God's waiting to write their name. And you know what? When he writes your name down, he knows you. It's not just that you know him. It's that he knows you by name. And he's keeping an account. In the latter days, there are going to be people that are saved during the tribulation because of the message of the 144,000 and the two witnesses. Read Revelation. There are going to be people who turned to God. They're going to be pretty much immediately slaughtered. There aren't going to be very many that make it through the tribulation because they are not going to receive the mark of the beast. But whoever receives the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire. But those who don't, and there will be some that will endure till the end. That's why the Bible says enduring to the end. When they endure to the end, they'll be in the millennial kingdom. And they will be different than the people that came through the tribulation. There will be some that'll make it through the tribulation that were never accepted God. And you know how it's all going to be, you know how it's all going to be sorted out? Well, who made it, who didn't? The same way it's going to be sorted out for you and me. You're either written in the book or you're not. That's why God must be your foundation. If he is not, if you're not following his plan, you're not written in the book. God's keeping account, not Ron Jones. Baptismal waters being stirred is not the account. Some certificate you have is not the account. The account is God wrote your name down in the book. You're recorded there or you're not. Doesn't matter if you've been a member of this church 100 years. Does not matter. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. And church, it's time that we recognize that good people go to hell unless their name is written in the book. Instead of saying, well, they're good people, they're probably churchgoers. What church? You mean it matters? Yeah, because not everywhere is God's favorite place to see people. Why? Because false doctrine is a deceiver. And they may be there because they think they're going to heaven and they're not. Only those that are written in the book, God's keeping account. That's the most glorious part of this. So when you put it all together, they're praising God because God is doing something in Jerusalem. He's glorifying himself because he placed them there on the holy mountain. People outside of Jerusalem are being drawn to God. Enemies are coming and they're accepting God. This will happen in a great way during the tribulation because they're going to see there will be those who've never heard that will see that God is doing this and that there must be something different in Jerusalem. Right before the millennial, they'll be grabbing a hold of a Jewish person, walking with them to Jerusalem saying, he will teach us. We will know the word of the Lord there in Jerusalem. But right now it's happening in the church. The only place it's happening on earth is in the church. This is where God set the foundation. There are many great works going on out here. People are doing humane things. That's great. But what people need is a foundation built on God. Not on self, not on religion, not on anything but God. And the true tell will be, your name was either written down by God or it is not. And they're thanking God that their names, all those people, their names were written down. He's keeping account. Oh, no. God doesn't lose control. It doesn't matter. Do you know it doesn't matter if you're like, I'm not sure I'm saved. If your name's written down, God knows. You need to get settled with God. Well, Brother Ron, are you telling me that the whole point of this psalm is it's patriotic and people are thankful that they're being drawn to God? Yeah, the singers, the players on instruments shall be there. The final little phrase there, all my springs are in thee. Do you know where God satisfies? Where he's laid the foundation. He doesn't satisfy out there. If he's your foundation, he satisfies when you're in this, doing this. If you want to come, if you come to church, he satisfies when you come to church and you're thankful to be at church and you're doing this. This is where satisfaction happens. Springs always mean that he's meeting every need and sustaining you, and he's carrying you through, satisfying your soul. Leading me beside still waters for his name's sake. There I am. I'm there. I'm right by the still waters. See, God wants to satisfy us, but we have to be as in his plan as he is in loving us in his plan. If you have a Christian life that's unsatisfied, I would say maybe you need to look at where your foundation is. You know, you can be saved in your foundation. You could be maybe moved your foundation away and you're building on shifting sands because you think something in the world is more important. Or if I just had this, I'd be satisfied. Here's what God says. When you're walking with me and you're where I love you and where you're supposed to be, here's what you can rejoice in, that I am satisfying you. And here's what happens. You sing. You make melody in your heart to the Lord. Why? Because I'm satisfying you. You're not satisfied by whatever's out there. You're being satisfied by the person who wants to satisfy you. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, I am. He told the woman at the well, when I give you water, it comes forth springing out of you for eternal life. If you want satisfaction, check and see where your foundation is. I can tell you, if you want to see how it looks to be off on the wrong foundation or moving the foundation or trying to wipe out the foundation without wiping down the structure, wiping out the structure, look at America. People are not satisfied. They're angry. There's all kind of debauchery going on. It's disgusting. There's murders like never before. Oh, Brother Ron, like never before. I'm talking about in my lifetime. It wasn't like this 50 years ago. You're afraid to let your kids walk around. Let's just be honest. There was a time where that never would have crossed anybody in this room's mind. Why? Because when you move the foundation, when you try to pull the structure off the foundation, it usually leaves a big old mess. And that's where we are. Unfortunately, churches are like that. And even worse, individuals are like that, that are in Christ, that don't have to be. What is your foundation and what are you building on that foundation? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.